here, the rowdies one there, they kick the ball around. The rowdies one here, the rowdies one there, then they fall on the ground. Oh, the rowdies, the rowdies, the rowdies are kicking the grass.
Here's another reason why WISL is your sports leader. Now, on FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WISL, North America's longest-running soccer radio show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, former Rochester Lancers trainer Joe Redcard Sirianni, Rochester Rhinos broadcaster Andrew Battisti, the editor of BigAppleSoccer.com and Tropagoal.com, Michael Lewis, and former Lancer and Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, the Rochester Lancers, and Western New York Flash. Top-notch monogramming, Northfield Commons, Pittsburgh. Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight. Van Bortle Auto Group. Faber Homes. Claridge Design Center. Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo. Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry. Dr. Frank Grayson Chiropractor. And the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. And now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. This is Andrew Battisti. Thanks for being with us tonight. We are going to be focusing on local soccer this evening, starting in just a moment with the president and COO of the Rochester Rhinos, Pat Ercole. We'll talk about the latest news from the Rhinos and the USL Pro League, plus the future of outdoor soccer in Rochester. Pat has all the information. We'll discuss that with him for the first half of our show tonight. Then at 7 p.m., we'll announce the fourth and final member of the Rochester Lancers Wall of Fame class of 2014. That person will be our guest at 7 o'clock, so stay tuned. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be big. And we're happy to welcome back to the show at 7:15, Gary Boughton of the Rochester Lancers. He's one of the stars in the team's 9-8 opening day win over Detroit on Saturday, the first time the Rhinos have, or the Lancers have ever won an opening match in indoor soccer. Michael Lewis and Dick Howard have the night off. They'll be back next Monday. So let's bring in right now the host of the show, Rochester Lancers Wall of Famer and a Hall of Famer in every aspect of the word, Joe Sirianni.
Oh, my goodness. You're making me feel like I'm somebody.
Yes, you are. You're also the president of the Italian-American Community Center, too.
Well, they're in a cup of coffee. If I don't have a dollar, I can't get it. So.
You mean $3 or $4,
the,
right?
The only guy that really got prestige is the guy that's going to be our guest at, you know, to start the show. That he is the CEO, and he is a guy that makes a whole lot of money. And I couldn't be happier for him because he's got a big family. He's got a grandkids. Now he's, you know, he's... getting there in ages, and he travels a lot, and he's got a lot on his mind. So let's just see what he got to say to us, and we welcome to our show, my friend, and of course the guy that I admire a lot, Pat Ercole, or Ercole.
And we'll say, Pat's appearance is brought to you by the Rhinos. The season tickets for the 20th anniversary Rhino season in 2015 are now on sale. 454-KICK is the number to call. Pat, thanks for being on the show with us tonight. I know that you have a lot to talk about with us and a lot of things we want to talk to you about. So welcome to the show, and thanks for coming on.
Thanks a lot, guys. Hey, Joe, come on. You got all the pensions working. I really need my money to pick up, to catch up to you.
Well, let me tell you, if we put my money and your money together, we probably couldn't buy a season ticket for the Rhinos.
We have lifetime tickets, I heard.
Yeah.
Maybe a season ticket for Chelsea. It's like my Chelsea mention in the show tonight. Yeah. That's about the only one.
We're not going to talk about Chelsea.
No, we're not. We're going to talk about the Rhinos right now. We're going to talk about outdoor soccer and the future of outdoor soccer in Rochester. But, Pat, obviously there's a lot of things happened last year with the team, and going back to the playoffs again, we had some great young talent here. And the league itself is just on a roll right now. We just had an announcement of a 22nd team for next year, Real Monarchs, the affiliate of Real Salt Lake, who are going to have their own stadium in downtown Salt Lake in a couple years' time. But first of all, let's talk about the Rhinos. Tell us what's been going on in the past month or two after the end of the regular season and the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, as an organization, you know, you evaluate yourself throughout the off season to determine how, what the action of direction of the team needs to be moving into the future. You know, and for us, looking at the way the league is evolving and growing, and the direction that it's taking, you know, it's important for us, especially to work on our affiliation with New England. They're certainly excited about continuing that relationship with us. We both come to the realization that if we're going to compete in this league, that relationship has to grow. Because you're looking at the LAs, for instance, the Portland, Seattle's, you know, now Real Salt Lake. There's a few, I would say about four or five others that will be announced shortly. So you're going to have more, close to half of the MLS reserve teams in our league, which is going to be very competitive.
Absolutely, and I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to see the young talent come in here, the guys who we're going to be seeing in Major League Soccer in the near future. Joe?
Pat, could you just elaborate for me, because maybe I'm a little bit, cynical.
Don't tell me cynical.
tell me. The second division that you know that is going to be fielded on the team, are they going to be young talent? Are they going to be kids coming out of college? They're going to be mature soccer players?
No, I think what you're going to find it's going to be similar to leagues overseas right now. There's a lot out there saying that if you don't have affiliations in Europe with second division, third division teams, You're not growing your talent. So you're finding that a lot of the major teams are acquiring other teams throughout Europe, where they can stockpile more talent, develop more talent, and it allows them to do it in a financial way that doesn't cost them an arm and a leg, rather than going out to get the best players all at once. And I think this is a similar situation. LA did it this year. When you look at LA, you're looking at that same situation this past season in regards to talent that they were able to put on the field and be very competitive and put them in a situation where they can develop. MLS obviously seen that they've tried on several occasions to have a reserve league, but have been unsuccessful with it because it isn't as competitive as they'd like it to be.
Well, Pat, let's look at our situation with our association with New England for the past years, okay? The talent that they give us, were you actually happy with that? Were there something that perhaps should have been better, better player given to us and not calling back the players that they send and then they call them back?
No, there's been discussions in regards to those particular that particular situation for us this past season and even the season before. We felt that the talent level needed to go up, and they agree. And we also felt that we needed to have more talent. So, I mean, for us, it's going to be an evolving situation, very similar, say, the Amerks, very, very similar to the Red Wings, where we'll have, you know, someday maybe have a full roster of those players. But again, those players have to be something that can be developed. And I think that's how it's going to evolve. And I think that New England has realized that if they don't pursue a similar relationship with us, that over the course of time, that they'll fall behind.
Now, Pat, obviously, look at some of the other affiliations. I think of Harrisburg and Philadelphia Union. Union supplied Harrisburg with most of their star players, and they went all the way to the championship game. A number of those players also featured with Union. So,
yeah, and you
see
also
in some
look
cases,
at D.C. D.C. With Richmond.
Right,
they had
exactly.
a similar situation. And when you look at a lot of those players that were with the Richmond, they got a lot of playing time throughout the course of the year that they would never have gotten if they were with D.C. And when it came CONCACAF time where D.C. was looking to rest some of their first teamers, they went with some of the players that actually played in Richmond and actually got a win away from home. So I think, you know, New England's realizing that, especially this year with the success that they've had, you know, when they could be playing a lot of games in CONCACAF and that sort of thing next year. They're going to need depth in their roster. So players like Donnie Smith that didn't get a lot of playing time up there came down to us a couple of games. He needs to get more games. So those types of players that didn't get a lot of playing time up there but served a purpose for their team, say, in practice drills and stuff like that for the first team. We need to, as a collective organization, need to figure out ways for that type of a player to be down here with us.
Go ahead, Tom. Another thing that, as far as partnership and distance from New England to Toronto, who's Toronto partner with?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Who's Toronto's going to partner, Toronto?
Well, here's the situation with the Canadian teams. The Canadian teams, there's a European international window that conflicts with our season at the moment. So they were affiliated this year with Wilmington. And what happened when that window closed, Toronto decided to bring all their players back to Toronto, so they had them available if they were needed during the 2 months. So Wilmington was left without those players. So that's really the process that it needs either to be revisited, but it becomes a FIFA decision in regards to when that window is applied. And right now it conflicts with our season. So it makes it difficult for a Canadian team to do that. In addition to that, the Canadian Federation wants to develop Canadian players. So they put some mandates on their MLS teams in regards to the development of Canadian players, which is also in direct conflict with our league and our teams.
So do you anticipate,
I don't know if that affiliation would be the best scenario for us.
Do you anticipate maybe the Canadian teams would have a Canadian team in the USL Pro, so that would be at least in the same country?
There's five teams. I can't tell you who they are at this time. But, you have three teams up there right now that I'm pretty sure. And I think even Montreal had already jumped the gun in regards to making an announcement. But they're definitely somebody that is looking to be in our league. And Joey, for instance, when you look at him, he's the president, obviously the owner of the Montreal Impact. He's also purchased Bologna in Italy. So he's now made a play for a team in Europe. He's got a team in Canada. And obviously, at some point, it realizes that in order to grow and develop players, that's the direction that teams are taking.
Right. And the other team you mentioned about, owners owning the same teams, New York City FC obviously has the affiliation with Manchester City.
Yeah.
They have not announced any kind of a team in USL Pro yet, as far as I know. What have you heard about that?
Well, New York FC at the moment, I think they're given a year reprieve to develop their team. So essentially, they don't have a restriction in regards to having an affiliation in our league or to even put a team in our league at this point. So I think, they're probably going to put all their focus on. I know they have a youth program that they've affiliated with that they'd like to see grow. But essentially making sure that they put the right team on the field that makes them successful in the MLS. So they're not somebody at the moment that would be interested in those types of discussions. Although we have made a play to some degree in just finding out what's going on. But you know what? I do appreciate what we do have with New England in a sense of from an organizational and approach on what we want to do to be successful. We're on the same page. We just now need to say, okay, how are we going to get better depth in regards to the players that we go after and what players come down here to play for us? So it helps us develop the players that we have on our team, their players, and it makes us successful in putting a good product on the field.
Pat, we have to take a break. Can you hang on through the break? Can we talk to you again on the other side?
Sure can, yeah.
Okay, we're going to be back with more from Rhinos President and COO Pat Erkley. We'll talk a little bit more about the USL Pro League next year. Big changes coming, lots of new teams, and big influence with Major League Soccer. We'll talk about that next here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Hi, this is Marcus Hahnemann from the U.S. Men's National Team. You're listening to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. National Team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA Wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
The Rochester Rhinos players and staff would like to thank all their fans for supporting them during the 2014 season at Salem Stadium and for the last 19 years. Season ticket packages for the Rochester Rhinos 20th anniversary season in 2015 are now on sale. All full season ticket packages include one ticket to all 14 regular season home games and one ticket to the Rochester Rhinos Legends soccer game at Salem Stadium. Purchase your tickets by calling 454-KICK or go to rhinosoccer.com. The Rhinos will be back for another exciting year of soccer this coming spring.
Are you looking for a new dentist for your family? Dr. David Olivo has been caring for Rochester's dental needs for over 15 years and would welcome the opportunity to serve you. To make an appointment, call 328-3382. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Kooja Kooja, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
Are you looking to update the kitchen, bath, or flooring in your home, but don't know where to begin? Whether it's cabinetry, carpeting, hardwood flooring, tile, or kitchen and bathroom remodeling, Claridge Design Center in Chi Lai Paul Plaza is the place to start. Locally owned with over 25 years in business, Claridge Custom Designs and Builds quality remodeling projects throughout Rochester and Monroe County. At Claridge, the visions and ideas you have for your home are developed with the experienced Claridge designers to make your dream project a reality. And the quality of service you receive at Claridge is second to none. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call Claridge at 889-5800 or visit their website to meet the Claridge team. See examples of their finished work at ClarideDesignCenter.com.
The undefeated Rochester Lancers open the 2014 Major Arena Soccer League home campaign at the Blue Cross Arena next Saturday, November 22nd, 7 p.m. against the Ontario California Fury. The match is close to being sold out, so don't miss out. Get your tickets today by visiting ourlancers.com or by calling 872-KICK. Come support your Rochester Lancers all season at the Blue Cross Arena.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Changes. Turn
And welcome back to Soccer is the Kick in the Grass. Andrew Battisti here with Joe Redcard Sirianni. Again, Dick Howard and Michael Lewis are off tonight. We're joined right now by the president and COO of the Rochester Rhinos, Pat Erkely. And this portion of the show is brought to you by our newest sponsor, the Van Bortel Auto Group, Van Bortel Subaru in Victor, Van Bortel Ford in East Rochester, and Van Bortel Chevrolet in Macedon. Go to VanBortelCars.com for all the information about Kitty Van Bortel and her car dealerships. And welcome back, Pat Erkely. And Pat, just seeing all these teams joining the USL Pro, and obviously the influence of Major League Soccer is becoming significant in this league. I mean, where do you see this going? What is the logical conclusion? Do you see, you know, MLS possibly someday maybe even buying the USL Pro out and making it an MLS too?
Yeah, I mean, I do see that. I see, because it's from the ground level all the way up. So you'll have your full pyramid of youth teams, you know, PDL to our second division to the MLS. So that opportunity, you know, one of the issues that we have in the U.S. is that when you're trying to develop a player, you have some legal restrictions in regards to legal rights for those players. So you could be developing somebody all the way up until they're 18, and they have the ability to go overseas, and you have no control of you have no ability to control that. You know, I think the MLS has tried on several occasions in U.S. Soccer to change that ruling, but it's just the rights that you have here in this country, and that's why we're American. But essentially, if you develop them from day one, they form an allegiance to the club, and as long as the club's a successful club, then you could see them remaining with that club, and that's key. I think, you know, kids, again, money's always going to talk to some degree, but at that point, I would think we're in a position to be able to sustain that development as they grow. So I do see them taking over at some point, and it's a natural thing, it seems like. I get it'll be the best thing for soccer in this country. You know, it's not something that's happening right now, but it's certainly going in that direction. The nice thing for us, too, is that we'll have, you know, the most teams in this league are not at least very close to as many as we had in 97 or 98, but stronger teams than we had back then. So when you're forming divisions, think about a division encompassing maybe Montreal, Toronto, Rochester, you know, those teams that we used to fight against. I think that would bring back a lot of that excitement that we used to have.
Pat, you know, a couple years ago when, there was the debate about the U.S. Pro and North American Soccer League, there was a lot of naysayer about when you guys made the decision to go to USL Pro and now in the North American Soccer League. What happened right now is proving that you made the right decision. But my question to you is that if USL Pro is succeeding the way it has been, what's going to happen to the North American Soccer League? What do you think?
It's difficult because, even back then, you know, in 2002, when I was involved and there was that opportunity to go into the MLS, a lot of people had, you know, short-sightedness and didn't realize that, hey, there's billionaires involved in the MLS. And when billionaires get involved and they have the ability to sustain with longevity because they have the funding, they find a way to make things work. And I think what happened with us, we didn't decide to make that jump. And consequently, you saw what happened with all the teams in our league that had major markets. Eventually, they made it into the MLS with successful businessmen and money behind them. I think it's the same situation here. When we looked at the NASL, their model was to compete with MLS. And we've seen what happens when you put the NFL against the USFL. That is not going to work. When you have a lot of people involved that are successful businessmen, they're already part of an organization, they're certainly going to protect that organization. It's no different than the NFL right now, trying to think that you're going to create their demise. It's not going to happen. They have staying power. They have a lot of money. They're very successful in it, and they know how to do it. And they know how to hire the right people. So I think it's the same thing for the MLS. They've hired the right people. They have the right businessmen in place. They're having success in most of their markets. So the NASL has to find a way to fit into that program. When we were making that decision, they weren't thinking about doing that. They were thinking about rivaling the MLS. And that's why, you know, with Rob and I, we made the decision to stay with the USL because we figured that at that point that would have its demise. I think what will happen is you're going to have some successful pockets with those teams. And it all depends on the ownership groups, whether they want to join our league. At that point, there'll be a cost for them to join. The franchise values are valued at $750,000 right now. You know, we could have gotten into the MLS in 2002 for $2 million. So, you know, right now, the MLS is about $100 million.
Wow.
That's where our ownership group will acquire its value. It's not just going to be from ticket sales and sponsorships, but it'll be from the value of the franchise itself.
We have only got a couple minutes left. I just wanted to ask you, there's a big meeting coming up, the annual general meeting of the USL in December down in Clearwater, Florida. I'm sure you're not looking forward to going down to Florida in December. That must be a terrible thing. But what do you think is going to happen regarding some of the logistics for next year, talking about number of matches? Is it going to go to a more of an MLS-style table with an Eastern and a Western Conference now that we have all these teams joining from the West? How do you see things changing next year, especially with the 20th anniversary Rhino season is going to be obviously a big deal next year?
Yeah, I mean, right now, I think we have a conference call within a week or two here. Actually, it's more like a week. and it's going to revolve around some of the many of those questions. I think on the table right now, they're obviously trying to mimic MLS as much as possible. So the conference sounds, you know, like a suitable way to go. From a standpoint, you know, financial travel and logistics and more rival competition, divisions may be an option. So I mean, there's going to be enough teams to be able to do that. So. You know, it's going to come back to the ownership groups that need to make those decisions. And, you know, it'll come back to the amount of teams that we have in our league, each having a vote and determining which direction we want to go. But it looks to me like most of those directions will probably be very similar to MLS.
Pat, just we got to go right away, but I just got to ask you one more question and briefly. What are the plans for the Rhinos for 2014-2015?
For the Rhinos?
Yes.
Well, the plans are obviously to grow this the sport. You know, as you know, Joe, I mean, we're involved with the stadium and we're involved in many, many events here. The Rhinos are part of that. And you know, the Rhinos are the closest to my heart. But we want to be successful as an organization. It involves more than just the Rhinos. But from the Rhino standpoint, I think it's important for us to develop a healthy relationship with New England or one of the other teams that don't want to run their own organization because it is a costly venture. So most of those teams have the ability to fund that sort of a system. Not to say that New England doesn't. They do, but... I think they're content with keeping an affiliation, which is good for us.
Well, Pat, we appreciate you being on the show with us, and you're always welcome to come on. We certainly want to have you on after these meetings with USL Pro, and we have more information about how the league's going to work next year. Hopefully there's going to be more games next year. I'd love to be calling more games for the Rhinos at Salem Stadium next year. But thank
Sounds
you so
good,
much
guys.
For the time. We really appreciate you coming on and giving us all the news about the Rhinos.
I appreciate it. Obviously, we want to keep soccer here and be successful. We've had many years prior to the 20 that we sat here without soccer. So it's important for us to support it any way we can.
Thank you so much,
Pat. Thank you, Pat.
Multigrass.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's Pat Erkley here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. When we come back, we will be joined by the fourth and final member of the Lancers Wall of Fame class of 2014. We'll tell you who it is next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Hi, this is Abby Wambach. You're listening to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL.
Your local sports leader.
You're listening to WYSL1040.com on the web.
FM 92.1 and 1040 WYSL
Avon Rochester.
Your family is growing, and it's time for a new home. Why buy a used house with someone else's style when you can afford a new Faber home, built to suit your taste and your needs? Start fresh, build new with Faber. Faber Homes can customize your home to meet your wishes and dreams. Faber Homes is now building in 6 locations. Visit the Faber Homes website at faberhomes.com and find the plan of your dreams or a quick deliver home. Give Faber Homes a call today at 247-4800 or visit faberhomes.com for our current incentives. Faber Homes, great price.
Doug Miller Family Sports Park is proud to be a sponsor of Soccer's The Kick in the Grass. Doug Miller Family Sports Park is home to Doug Miller Soccer, Rochester Golf Academy, Glacier Ridge Snow Tubing, and Salvatore's. Check us out at DougMillerFamilySportsPark.com.
Caring for your teeth is a key factor in promoting good health. Joe and Andrew highly recommend Dr. David Olivo and his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue for all your dental needs. Dr. Olivo and his experienced staff provide a wide array of dental services and procedures in a comfortable and caring atmosphere. New patients are always welcome. Visit Dr. Olivo's interactive website at davidolivodmd.com or call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo. Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Hi, this is Kitty Van Bortel. When the time comes for you to buy a used car or truck, I really hope that you'll come to see me. The reason is very simple. You can trust me. You can depend on the fact that I will never sell you a vehicle that has trouble. If one does get past me, you let me know and I'll make it right. I don't care how long you've owned it. So please, don't worry. Just come to my place. I truly take the fear out of buying a used car.
VanBortelCars.com.
The undefeated Rochester Lancers open the 2014 Major Arena Soccer League home campaign at the Blue Cross Arena next Saturday, November 22nd, 7 p.m. against the Ontario California Fury. The match is close to being sold out, so don't miss out. Get your tickets today by visiting ourlancers.com or by calling 872-KICK. Come support your Rochester Lancers all season at the Blue Cross Arena.
Insurance companies do their best to reward safe drivers with savings. But do they really know how you drive every day? And can they reward you for it? The answer is yes. Introducing DriveWise from Allstate, an amazing little device that simply plugs in under your dash, collects driving data from your car, and gets you the savings you truly deserve.
Call Fairport Allstate agent Vincenzo Scolo, 244-2130. Feature is optional and subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
DriveWise from Allstate. Are you in good hands?
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Andrew Battisti here with Joe Redcard Sirianni, and we are now going to announce the fourth and final member of the Rochester Lancers Wall of Fame class of 2014. We've already announced Eli Durante, great midfielder from the Lancers in the early mid-70s. The late Peter Short, who was a member of the 1970 championship team. And Dave Sarakin, who played with the Lancers for 2 seasons and, of course, is now one of the top professional coaches in the U.S., the assistant coach of the LA Galaxy. And we have our fourth member now we're going to announce. He is the member of the media division that we're going to be announcing right now, a gentleman who is Had a pretty good last few days, if you are following anything having to do with what's going on around the city of Rochester. But, Joe, he goes back all the way to the beginning, practically the beginning of the Rochester Lancers.
This gentleman, of course, goes back to the years of the original Lancers. He was a broadcast many of the games along with Charlie Shano, and he traveled a certain time with the team. Actually, he traveled ahead of us, but the gentleman that we're talking about is new Senator-elect Richard Funke.
And we're very happy to have with us New York State Senator-elect Rich Funke joining us on the show now. And Rich's appearance brought to you by Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips. The newest location is open today in Macedon at 91 West Main Street. The number to call to place your order is 315-986-1555. And Rich, congratulations on, of course, winning the election, but also being nominated and being a member of the Lancers Wall of Fame Class of 2014. Thank you for coming on our show tonight.
Well, thanks, guys, very much. It's a great honor, first of all, and thanks so much for having me on the air tonight. The Lancers were a big part of my background, and the 30 years that I covered sports, it was just so much fun to cover that team through the years, and guys worked so hard to make soccer what it is today in Rochester. It's just great memories, that's for sure.
And it's certainly, Rich, what's ironic is that you were a native of Batavia, and the other member of the Lancers media division who covered the team did play-by-play, Wayne Fuller, also from Batavia. So two Batavia natives, both members of the Lancers Wall of Fame now.
That's right. I think Wayne did play-by-play for just about everybody. So not only the Lancers, but just about every team in the area, I think, at one time or another. Wayne did the play-by-play before. But, you know, on the television side, I go back to thinking about how important the Lancers were, because in many respects, in that time period between the early 70s through the 70s, they really put Rochester on the sports map. People don't remember, maybe, but ABC television used to televise a game of the week in the North American Soccer League. And those cameras would roll into Rochester, and here we would be up across the country, in a soccer game at Hollander Stadium. And it was just great. I mean, there was a lot of pride on the line at that point in time for the city of Rochester and for that soccer team.
Well, it's, Richard, I can remember, and I concur with what you just said, that, I lived those days, and now I relive them in my mind, and I can see the beautiful game that was played at the Hollander Stadium. I remember all the things that you individually, but the station as well, took chance to broadcast the games and bring it back to Rochester and to the United States, all over the place. And certainly in those days was a rarity, not the way it is today.
No, not the way it is today. But those great players back there, Joe, and just watching all the work that you used to do on the sidelines there, everybody worked so hard to make this work in Rochester against a very difficult odds. And then, you know, the New York Cosmos came around with, bringing in Pele and bringing in Canalia and bringing in Beckenbauer and paying loads and loads of money for these great players. And for that year, to play against those guys, for the guys that we had, like Mike Stojanovic, Mijatovic, and these guys, to play against Pele and Beckenbauer and Canalia at Giant Stadium in front of 72,000 people in that championship game, my gosh, what a thrill. And to be able to televise that game and bring it back home to Rochester was one of the great, great thrills of my life. Played in the pouring rain. We could have won that game too, Joe.
Yeah. We played in the pouring rain, you're right. The first time that I ever been in the stadium, I was overwhelmed. As soon as we walked into the field and all the people were there, I said, oh, my God, because I'd never been in there before, and I'd never been in front of so many people. But the memory is so much. Just briefly tell us, aside of that, who was your favorite players that you can remember?
Well, certainly, Bronco Sagota was, just a great player. Mijatovic was great. Ibrahim Silva, I remember him as being just a great player, too. And, of course, Mike Stojanovic. I mean, just a guy who could put the ball in the net almost at will sometimes, it felt like, you know. I remember when they brought in Shep Messing to play in goal. That was a big thing in Rochester at that time because he had, you know, national recognition. Just a lot of great guys and a lot of great players that were brought in here, a lot of great coaches. I mean, Popovich, I mean, what a fantastic coach he was and what a great job he did, with those teams. But I want to tell you one story, Joe, if I can, about that championship game down in Giants Stadium. Before the game began, you know, I had been asked to do the play-by-play, and they had hired a World Cup announcer to do the color. And we're down on the field with Charlie Sciano, and Charlie said he introduced me to this fellow whose name escapes me now. And he said, well, this is Rich. He's going to be doing the play-by-play. And the other guy said, oh, no, he's not. I'm the play-by-play guy. Rich is going to be doing the color. And I thought to myself, geez, you know, I'm not a soccer analyst. I can do the play-by-play, but I'm certainly not a soccer analyst. And Charlie said, no, he's going to do the play-by-play. And he said, if you don't like it, he said, you can leave right now. And I'm thinking, there's 70,000 people in this stadium, and Charlie's telling this guy he can just go ahead and leave. And what am I going to do? I'm going to be up there all by myself calling this entire game. And Charlie looked at the guy and he said, as a matter of fact, why don't you leave right now? He said, and I'll go up and do the color because people in Rochester would rather hear me anyway. So we started laughing. I laughed so hard, I thought I was going to cry. We get up in the booth and we start calling this game. And the guy would not say a word for about the first 8 minutes of the game. I was all on my own. By halftime, he started to warm up a little bit, and he did his job. But he was not a happy camper, that's for sure. But just to have Charlie tell him, you know what, everybody knows me better than they know you, and they'd rather hear from me anyway, it was just a classic line from a classic guy. But he and Pat Denolfo and John Petrosi and everybody worked so hard to keep that team together and to keep it afloat. It was just a great time in my life.
That, you know, I'll say my life and the memory, you brought back so many things. And Charlie, if I could tell everybody the story of Charlie, you know, his behavior and his influence, how he built how he built the game of soccer right from the beginning when he became the chairman of the American Soccer League that was a shamble, and he made it into an organization that was respectable. A lot of people don't know their stuff, and, you know, someday we have an hour or two and a show, and we'll tell the whole story.
And Charlie will tell it himself, I'm sure. Yeah. But I always say, Richard, Charlie should be a member of the U.S. Soccer Hall of Fame, because without him, there wouldn't be soccer in this country. With what he did to bring the Lancers and saving the North American Soccer League with Joe Robbie and the Washington Darts back in the 70s. When you were still in college, I believe, at that time, weren't you? Or just getting out of college?
Oh, no. I was in 1971. I was working at Wham Radio, just getting out of college. But I remember the Fort Lauderdale Strikers. And one thing that, Joe, you may remember, too, is remember the year that we have the indoor Lancers now, but a lot of people may forget this, but we had the indoor Lancers for one season back in the 70s. Remember that?
Yeah, Jim May was the goalie, and the goals were completely different than they were right now. They were shorter and they were wider.
Yeah, you know, exactly. I remember we went down to Tampa Bay. We played the Tampa Bay Rowdies down there, and we had gone down to cover spring training for the Red Wings. And we flew from Baltimore or from Miami up to Tampa to cover these indoor games. We flew back and forth to cover them. And I will never forget what a great game Jim May played. He was a tremendous indoor goaltender. He really was.
And of course, that Lancers team was the basis of the New York Arrows that won five straight MISL championships.
That guy was indestructible. I will fix him up, and he will go and play again, just like, he reminded me of Jerry Cheevers. I remember in hockey, he was a goalie, got hit in the puck, in the mouth, the teeth fall off. He went in the dressing room, they fixed him up, and he came back and finished the game. The great Jerry Cheevers, the goalie for the Mercs.
Yep, that's right.
Well, and Rich, I'm looking at your Senate website, and it doesn't mention the Lancers on here. I don't know who put this together, but they better amend this and say you did play-by-play for the Nighthawks, Amherst, and the Lancers.
Well, I really only did a couple of games for the Lancers, so I guess if you do more than two games, maybe that counts. I guess I don't know, but you had great fun covering them. On a weekly and day-to-day basis, we always felt back then that the teams that we had, let's treat them as major league teams. And, in the early days, frankly, we shot film. And you had to be, now, of course, you play a game at night and you can be there on the air live. But back in those early days when we shot film, if the Lancers practiced at night, they'd go over to St. John Fisher or someplace and they'd practice. If we'd get over there, we could shoot maybe for an hour, and then we'd have to come back and process the film because it would take an hour and a half to process that film. So we couldn't shoot much past 8 o'clock or so and then get those highlights on the air at 11 if there were any. And a lot of times the Lancers would play. That's why I was so happy with the Sunday afternoon games that they would play occasionally or Saturdays because we could shoot the whole game and have all the highlights on and process all that film. But if they played a night game, you were really only able to shoot maybe the first half, and you hoped that there'd be a goal.
Those were the days. But, Rich, again, we want to appreciate you coming on. I know you're very busy with your new job. You're going to be starting in January. We're very happy that you're going to be representing Rochester in the New York State Senate, and looking forward to seeing you on December 27th for the Hall of Fame ceremony at the Blue Cross Arena. You, along with Dave Sarakin and Ellie Durante and the late Peter Short, being inducted into the Wall of Fame this year. So, again, thank you so much for being with us, and congratulations. Look forward to seeing you at the end of December.
I'm honored beyond what you could imagine to be with that group on December 27th. I can't wait. Thanks.
Thank you, Richard, and congratulations on your win.
Thanks, guys.
It's Rich Funke, state senator-elect for the 55th New York State Senate District and the fourth and final member of the 2014 class of the Rochester Lancers Wall of Fame. And speaking of the Lancers, we'll be joined next by Gary Boughton, one of the heroes of Saturday's 9-8 Lancers win over Detroit. The first time the Lancers have won an opening match in their indoor history recently here in the 21st century. We'll have Gary next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Hi, this is Doug Miller, and you're listening to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 1040.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
The Western New York Flash would like to thank all their fans in Rochester and the surrounding area for their support during this past season in the NWSL. Season tickets for the 2015 Flash season are now on sale for a limited time at discounted pricing, which ends October 31st. Season tickets are available in every price level, starting as low as $100. To purchase your season tickets, visit the Flash website at www.wnyflash.com. The Western New York Flash. Experience the best.
An experienced professional with more than 15 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
The undefeated Rochester Lancers open the 2014 Major Arena Soccer League home campaign at the Blue Cross Arena next Saturday, November 22nd, 7 p.m. against the Ontario California Fury. The match is close to being sold out, so don't miss out. Get your tickets today by visiting ourlancers.com or by calling 872-KICK. Come support your Rochester Lancers all season at the Blue Cross Arena.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Andrew Battista here with Joe Redcard Sirianni, and joining us once again for the first time this year, but he's been our guest before, and certainly a very happy gentleman as the Lancers won their first game of the season, 9-8 over Detroit in extra time. Gary Boughton is our guest now, and Gary's appearance brought to you by the Lancers. Lancers' next match is the home opener, Saturday, November 22nd, next Saturday, against the Ontario California Fury. 872-KICK to get your tickets. They're going fast. You don't want to miss the welcoming the Lancers back home for the start of the season. And Gary, congratulations on the win. And it took long enough to start that overtime period, but you guys finally got the golden goal from Maurizio and a well-deserved victory.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a wait there before overtime, but we got the job done when it going.
So let's all talk about the match. Now, the Lancers started off very strong. Maurizio scored a couple goals in the first 5 minutes, and it looked like you guys were going to blow them off the field. I was talking to my wife saying, Maurizio's going to score 100 goals this season at this rate. But then Detroit eventually worked their way back into the game. It seemed like you guys maybe were getting a little bit winded in the second half. I know you guys were pressing them really hard in the first half. Was there a bit of a problem with the fitness so early in the season in the second part of the match?
I don't think it was the fitness. I think it had a lot to do with, like you said, pressing a lot in the first half and being able to find the game. And for a lot of guys, it was their first game playing at this level, and it can be tough for that. And I mean, I remember my first year when I got out there and the heart was racing a little bit, and it's the first game of the season, and you know your wind starts to go a little bit quicker. But I don't think fitness is an issue. We went through 2 days pretty tough, and Doug had us on the end line doing a little bit of running. So I think the team overall is in good shape. But just, you know, getting those first game jitters out and as the half wore on, and it can be tough.
It's a tough team. They're a tough team. I got to tell you what, one of the stars of the match was Edgar Bartolomeu. They got that giant forward named Samson. He's like, what, 6'3", 250 pounds or something?
Yeah,
he's
a load.
But Edgar was just on him like white on rice. It was great to see that.
Yeah, I mean, Edgar had a really good week. He's been a big part of helping the younger guys in training along with the coaching staff, you know, with all his experience. And he came into camp ready to play and showed by his performance the other night.
Gary, this is Joe Sirianni. You know, this year, of course, you know, Doug Miller is the new coach and the new owner, and he's been a very acclimated and goal scorer, and certainly knows how to play the game. Is his coaching and his ability to score goals and all the experience that he's got, is there an influence on your guys and a motivator having him as a coach?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's you guys know as much as I do, he's got a nose for goal. So offensively, you know, helping younger guys figure out where to be on the field and how to get those easy tapping goals and stuff like that, Doug's been a big influence for that, for sure. You know, we all know Doug is a goal scorer, but really he's hammering into our heads the importance of defending and defending well and as a unit this year.
Absolutely, and I think that's going to be the difference with a lot of these games against the former PASL teams. They've never seen teams play defense like the Baltimores and the Syracuses and the Missouris and the Milwaukees have played in the past, and it's going to be a wake-up call for some of these teams. But, Gary, I want to ask you a couple points in the game that I want clarification. We're going to get to this overtime debacle in a second, but one of their players, Dominic Cicluna, I don't know if he's related to Baron Mikel Cicluna, the former wrestler, but he got red carded for something that happened off the ball or in a skirmish. I couldn't actually see what he did. Did he just like cold cock Jake Schindler in the face or something, and that's why he got red carded? What happened?
Yeah, he did throw a punch. He got Jake in the ribs. I was kind of blocked off by it, but when Jake went down, he was kind of holding his side. It looked like he just gave him a little jab, and the ref was right there to see it. So, obviously, something you can't really get away with at this point in the season with the refs starting their year off as well.
But the other thing was this insane delay they had before overtime, which even Jeff DeVeronica was tweeting about to the commissioner, you know, this is something you can't have in a league that, you know, nobody knows the rules about overtime and penalties carrying over. What were you guys thinking while this whole half an hour delay was going on?
Yeah, it was pretty brutal for us too. I mean, honestly, we were just thinking we have to come out and we can't have any letdowns. You know, we kind of got away from what we were doing well the second half, and We talked, and overtime pretty much had to be a new game for us. We were, you know, heavy legs. It was try and stay loose however long it takes. And mentally, we were ready to play 5v5. We were going into overtime as if we weren't going to be a man up, just ready to play whatever the decision was. But we knew the importance of starting off on the right foot, really picking up our intensity and as the overtime started and getting ready to play a 15 or 10 minutes, I believe it was, golden goal and get out of there with a win.
Well, you guys did that, and coming up in a couple weeks or about 11, 12 days, it's the Ontario California Fury. They're 1-1 on the season. They dropped a result to Monterey, and they beat Sacramento on Sunday. So they're going to be coming in here. They'll be playing Syracuse the night before, and that'll be certainly be a tough match for them. What do you guys expect to see from Ontario?
Well, we've watched a little bit of film on them. I think they're going to be better than Detroit. I think they've got a few more veteran players from the MISL and you know, some quality players out there. It's really going to be, you know, defending our home field, expecting that we're going to have a fight that day and really battle with them and defend hard and press hard again and just, you know, impose ourselves on them. You know, I think a lot of expectations are high for us in this league, merging with PASL, or, you know, some people would refer to it as a second division. And so expectations for us being in the former MISL, you know, we've got to come out and play hard, and we can't really take anyone lightly. You know, I think a lot of people expected us to roll over Detroit, who ended up being a really tough, gritty team. And we're expecting that Ontario is going to be the same way, with maybe a little bit more offensive weapons.
It's going to be fun to watch. I'm looking forward to seeing a new team come in here. I'm sure the fans are too. It's Saturday, November 22nd at 7 p.m. at the Blue Cross Arena. Gary, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. And tell the team have a good week of practice, and we're looking forward to the home opener.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me on.
I will see you on Wednesday at the Italian American Sport Club for the kickoff dinner.
Absolutely. Yep, I'm looking forward to it.
Come right. Hungry.
Good pasta.
Thank you, Gary. It's Gary Bowden from the Rochester Lancers. As we mentioned, the Italian American Sport Club hosting the Lancers kickoff dinner this Wednesday. Starts at 6:30. You can sit with your favorite Lancer players, or the members of the Lancer Dancers will be there. The ownership group will be there. We'll be there. It's going to be a great event.
And that's $20 a person, so call the Lancers office, reserve your tickets, and by your tables. So we'll see you at the Italia Verga Sport Club as soon as Wednesday.
That's right. You got to be there. It's going to be a great meal. You won't go home hungry, that's for sure. Before we go real quick, we want to say best wishes to our dear friend McCall Zerboni. She is being was traded to the Portland Thorns last week with Cat Williamson for Amber Brooks, and she's been a great friend to us, a great friend to this show. We'll certainly be talking to her. She's on her she's overseas right now, so we'll try to get her on the show.
And of course, you know, Angela Selim, you know, she's been a tremendous player, and we're going to miss her.
That's right. So we'll be talking to McCall's as soon as he gets back from overseas. I want to thank Pat Erkely, Rich Funke, the fourth member of the Lancers Class of 2014 Wall of Fame, and Gary Boughton for being on the show tonight. Lancers home opener next Saturday at 7 p.m. against Ontario. The Wall of Fame is the 27th at 1 p.m. against Baltimore. 872 kick to get your tickets. This has been Andrew Battisti with Joe Sirianni and Bob D'Angelo at WYSL. Be with us again next Monday at 6:30 for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass here on WYSL, 92.1 FM and 1040 AM, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com. Have a good night, everybody.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, the Rochester Lancers, and Western New York Flash. Top-notch monogramming, Northfield Commons, Pittsburgh. Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight. Van Bortle Auto Group. Faber Homes. Claridge Design Center. Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo. Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry. Dr. Frank Grayson Chiropractor. And the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. Tune in again next week for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Yes.